Limits may not be here, but the Limitless Express is always here, especially now that it's football season. It's our version of the Football Fix, today starring Sean, don't call me Seth Meyers. Please.
Well, thank you, Joe. I appreciate the introduction. So I mentioned that we're going to talk about a former Steelers quarterback. You could probably guess who. Cleveland Browns QB Kenny Pickett, who apparently was looking pretty good recently, but that has come to a screeching halt. He suffered a hamstring injury late in practice Saturday. He will be reevaluated later this week. Obviously, a hamstring injury is something that typically could linger.
Yeah.
So what was your reaction? And will this cost him his best realistic chance to be the guy in Cleveland this year?
Man, it sounds like it could. And my reaction from reading about this was that he may have been trying to push through it because, let's be honest, this could be Kenny Pickett's last real chance to start in the NFL. At the beginning of a season, I mean, to be the guy. And it wouldn't surprise me if he was trying to push through an injury and made it worse. So that opens the door for the one and only Joe Flacco. I still think he's going to be the guy. It's unimaginable to me that it would be Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders for the opener. It's looking more and more like Joe Flacco to me, unless, of course, Pickett makes a quick recovery. But, man, you worry about that with a hamstring.
I just wonder, will they keep those four quarterbacks? You would think both rookies are going to be safe.
Well, they can keep one on the practice squad, right?
Yes, but then you're subjecting that player to the rest of the NFL.
Of course, the rest of the NFL had a chance to get Shedeur like eight times.
That is true.
They passed a combined 300 times on him. But you never know.
I wonder if Pickett and or Flacco, probably more so Pickett, could be an option to be sent elsewhere or maybe just flat out cut, although that seems a little bit less likely.
Next.
So we'll stay in the AFC North. And the Cincinnati Bengals have had some issues defensively, and the offseason has not helped matters. Obviously, we know that they have not been able to bring in their first round pick. Well, that finally has changed because Shamar Stewart, after a lengthy back and forth, has agreed to a fully guaranteed four-year contract worth about $19 million. He was their first-round pick.
Yeah.
Took way, way longer than every other first-round pick. Will this hinder his first season? What do you make of this whole situation?
I mean,
Cincinnati went against the grain.
It shouldn't, really. I don't know how good he is anyway. He seems like a project. I should say I don't know how good he's going to be right off the bat anyway, because he hardly had any sacks in college last year. But it's not like a quarterback walking into a new situation. It's a guy whose job is see that guy in the backfield with the ball, go tackle him before he throws it type deal. I think he's probably going to be a situational type pass rusher early. So this shouldn't affect him that much, I don't think. I completely wonder about this guy. And if he was a reach of a pick, I also see where Trey Hendrickson is around in camp, just like James Cook is in Buffalo in camp. It seems like these alleged contract disputes are really being solved very quickly, and the ones like Hendrickson and Cook will be soon. You get that gist?
I think Cincinnati has to figure it out if they want to have any chance this season.
Yeah.
And again, with Hendrickson out, at least for the time being, maybe more pressure goes on their first-round pick, Shamar Stewart, to kind of fill some of that void.
Could be. I mean, even with these guys, even with Hendrick, they had Hendrickson last year and they were terrible. Although they got a little bit better down the stretch, they've changed coordinators. All they need to be is average on defense, the Bengals. All they need to be is bad defensively. They just don't need to be historically horrific to have a chance to win and get to the playoffs. You know what I was looking at, Sean?
What's that?
I was looking at how things are actually decided in the NFL. And it comes down because I'm getting sucked in by all these interviews with people on NFL Network. They do a great job, by the way. They're visiting every camp. So all day on NFL Network is going from camp to camp and interviewing the key people. Kyle Brandt interviewed Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. And it's like Pirates spring training disease that you get. When you're there and you're immersed in it, you start to believe the Pirates are good. So I'm seeing things like, you know, Max Crosby telling me how great Pete Carroll is, how the whole team's going out to dinner together, more togetherness. And I'm starting to get sucked into thinking the Raiders will be good. What was my point on all this? What did you ask me?
I don't think I asked you anything about that, but I enjoyed the tangent.
Well, no, it's still going on here. Oh, how things are decided in the NFL. So I started thinking, you know what? There's a lot of teams that could. The Raiders could be good. There's talent there. Then they go to the Chargers camp with Justin Herbert and a healthy Derwin James and all the talent they have. And Harbaugh coaching them. I think they could be really good. Well, not everybody can be good. So how does this get decided in this league? The one thing is health, right? You have to have good health. Your quarterback has to be healthy, period. The other thing is, can you win? Can you find a way to win close games? Sometimes that's luck, to be honest with you. And then other times it's just having finishing power, whether it's your defense being able to shut down a game, whether it's your kicker, your quarterback. And here's a great example.
Sounds like the Chiefs last year.
Yeah. But here's a great example. The Bengals last year, they lose to Baltimore 41-38 in overtime. And then they lose at Baltimore 35-34. Those are two games with, but for the bounce of the ball, the Bengals might be your division champ last year. You know what I mean? It feels like a lot of these divisions and games and seasons simply come down to competence and luck with close games, late close games. Can you win them? I just wanted to say that. Because the Bengals last year, I mean, they wound up 9-8. They very easily could have been 11-6 or better. Some of the losses they had were ridiculous. They could be very good this season. They lost to Kansas City 26-25, to Washington 38-33, to Baltimore in overtime, as I mentioned, to Baltimore by a point, to the Chargers by a touchdown, to the Steelers by 6 points, and then they won their last five games. Does that mean they're a juggernaut rolling into this season? I don't think so, but I don't know so. They could be. I don't know.
I think a lot of people thought if they got into the playoffs last year, they could go on.
They were going to be problematic. Yeah. Next. I'm sorry for that.
No, that was wonderful. So you mentioned the Raiders and how you think Las Vegas maybe could be a good team this year. Well, they're going to have to replace a big piece defensively, or at least what they expected would be a big piece. Christian Wilkins was released, designation of termination for a vested veteran. He was terminated based on them apparently not liking how he rehabbed a foot injury that he suffered last season. He's now filed a grievance with the NFLPA. So what happens here?
Well, the Steelers could step in. They like veteran defensive linemen with chronic foot injuries.
They do.
Remember Larry Ogunjobi?
Why don't
they pick him up? And why doesn't Omar pay him $28 million?
He got paid a heck of a lot of money when he went there from the Dolphins. Didn't work out, and they've kind of cut the cord pretty quickly here. But you do have to wonder, will he latch on, and could he regain that form that made him such a terrific player with the Dolphins?
Here's another thing as I go off on another tangent. You know who I think could, if they're not good, is going to damage some people this year? The New York Giants. That's who I think. They have a brutal early season schedule. I think that Russell Wilson, they're gonna sacrifice him to that early schedule, then go to Jackson Dart. But I also think, Sean, have you seen this defense? They obviously have Dexter Lawrence up front.
They can rush the quarterback, I know that much.
And they have a bunch of other guys.
Abdul Carter. They
have Abdul Carter. They're going to hurt people. I'm telling you that right now. You play the Giants, you're going to feel it for a while. They also have some talented guys offensively. They could be good. I'm sorry, what's next?
Oh, just to finish on the Giants, I don't think they have an Eli Manning yet, but when they won those Super Bowls, I feel like it was the pass rush and the defensive line that was probably the biggest part of those teams.
Man, they're starting to build up defensively. I think they're going to be fun to watch this year. I do. I think they were smart to keep Brian Daboll, and if you're letting Daboll draft Jackson Dart, unless things completely fall apart this year, like I think if the Giants are around 500 and are competitive, I think he stays another year to help develop Dart, and I think they're getting better and better. I really do. I have no idea why I'm talking about the New York Giants, but they made an impression on me. I'm sorry. Anything else?
No, I do have something else, Joe. Yeah. So you're talking about Jackson Dart. He's a very notable rookie. Probably the rookie who has a chance to make the biggest impact in the NFL is Travis Hunter with the Jaguars. At least according to one betting site, he has the third best odds for offensive rookie of the year, the second best odds for defensive rookie
Incredible.
Of the year.
Yeah,
no one seemingly is talking about this guy in the way that we talk about Shohei Ohtani in Major League Baseball. Could he redefine how NFL players are looked at in terms of versatility?
He could. I mean, he could be, you know, Jim Thorpe. Ron got the only one-on-one interview with Jim Thorpe all those years ago. Maybe he'll come out of retirement in Florida and interview Travis Hunter just to come full circle. I don't know. Yes, he could. I can't wait to watch him. Trevor Lawrence is a major disappointment. He's one of the biggest disappointments I've actually ever seen right now. I thought he was going to be a superstar. I think I picked him 2 years ago, or maybe it was, no, it wasn't last year. 2 years ago as an MVP candidate. He's been horrible. What happened?
Well, I guess they hope that Travis Hunter, who seemingly at the start might play